our call to worship. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and you has the light shone. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and this is the story. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bright and morning star.' We join with the angels in their hymns of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed."
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens earth reply, alleluia.
Let's regain our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting?
He all does save, alleluia. Where thy victory, O great, alleluia.
Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids his rise, alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, alleluia.
Soar we now where Christ has led, alleluia. Following our exalted head, alleluia. Made like him we rise, alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies.
Praises greets us this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father through our risen Lord Jesus Christ in communion of the Holy Spirit. And as you've been greeted by God, let's take a moment and greet and welcome those around us this morning.
gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded the grave close to filled with light as the angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan wrought in love, born in pain, paid his sacrifice. Fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weeping, where is he laid? As in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb, hears a voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. Will sound till he appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. One with the Father, ancient of days, through the Spirit who clothes faith with certainty, honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. And we are raised with him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. Is the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. Is the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. Victory cry. Is the power
ring I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. Is the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a life, what a cross, we stand forgiven at the cross. We stand forgiven.
Love.
Father, it is good for us to be here this morning celebrating the fact that your Son rose from the dead, that he defeated death once and for all. And so, God, we just say thank you this morning. Thank you for letting us celebrate this day. Thank you for letting us be here together. And it's through your risen Son's name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this is the very first time ever that I get to share an Easter message. And so in preparing for that, I'll admit I was a little nervous, and so I did what everybody does the first time they're going to do something. They Google it and say, how do you preach a good Easter message? The first site that popped up was Keep It Short. I, of course, went to the second site that came up. Now, it is good to be here with you this morning. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. See, Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then he appeared to his disciples, and that's what we're going to read about this morning. So starting at John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the people who wrote it down so that we can read it, so that we can study it. And I just pray, Lord, this morning that you will use me to articulate the thoughts you've laid in my heart, that they'll be clear, that they'll be easy to understand, that they'll be applicable to our lives, Lord, and that they'll stay with us in the coming days and weeks and months. And God, we do this all for your honor and glory, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to use this passage this morning, and we're going to look at two things. Well, you know me. We'll look at seven things, but we'll break them up into two broad categories. Two broad categories. How Jesus showed up and what that means, and then what Jesus says to his disciples. So we'll start with verse 19 when Jesus showed up, and it says, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. First thing I want you to get from this, the first thing, is that Jesus has a physical body. Jesus has a physical body. It's not like the disciples all saw the same vision or all saw the same revelation. He showed up with a physical body. Even though the doors were locked and there was no way for him to get in, he showed up. And the very first thing I want you to get from that this morning is that there are some places that only the risen Jesus can go. There are some things so deep, buried so deep in your heart, so deep in your soul, that only Jesus can go there, that only God can go there. There are things that you don't share with anybody else. There's things you don't share with your spouse. There are things you don't share with your best friend. They're the hurts that you've caused in your life. They're the fears that you have. But the thing is, just like through the locked doors, Jesus can go there. The second thing I want to get out through Jesus showing up is that the disciples had the doors locked because they were scared. And I think sometimes we bust on the disciples too much. We give them a hard time. Because we think, you know, if we had been walking with Jesus, if we had been there and seen the miracles, we'd have known, we'd have understood, we'd have gotten it. But the thing is, we've got the Bible. We've got it all laid out in front of us to help us understand it. The disciples' fear, it was a well-founded fear. See, they didn't fully get it yet. They didn't fully understand. And so they were scared. Their king, the guy they thought was going to lead them away from the Roman Empire, was just killed. And if you remember what happened, none of the disciples stuck around when Jesus was arrested. They all fled. And so they were scared. But see, the thing is, the risen Jesus helps us with our fear. He helped the disciples with their fear when he showed up. They were overjoyed to see him, and he helps us with our fear. You know, it's much like he said to Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who died. And he came to Jesus and said, "Can you heal her?" Well, she was sick, and he came to Jesus and said, "Can you heal her?" But before Jesus could get there, she died. And Jesus says to him, he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He says the same thing to us. He says the same thing to us. Don't be afraid, just believe. The fear that you have, the things that keep you up at night and cause you worry, the risen Jesus says to you this morning, he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The next thing is that Jesus showed up in their midst. He came and stood among them. He didn't want them just to see him from a distance. He wanted the disciples to experience him, to see the holes in his hands and his feet, especially for Thomas, right? I mean, how'd you like that for a legacy? The whole rest of time, if you don't believe something, you're known as a doubting Thomas. Jesus wanted them to experience him, to see him, to know that he was real, to know without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, he rose from the dead. He wants the same thing for us. He wants us to experience him, to experience his love. You see, Jesus isn't just an abstract idea that sits out here that is a really nice thing to hold on to. Something that maybe you can gravitate to when things get tough. No, Jesus is real. He's living and he wants us to experience him. He wants us to experience his love. That's what he wants for you this morning. And that's what we get from Jesus showing up in the midst of disciples. But then we can look at what Jesus says. We can look at what Jesus says, and he says three things this morning. He says, "I'm going to give you peace, I'm going to give you purpose, and I'm going to give you power." Peace, purpose, and power. I was going to make some sort of clever allegory about peas, but I hate peas, so I didn't. First, let's look what Jesus says about peace. In verse 20, in verse 19 and 21 both, he says, "Peace be with you." You see, peace begins with the risen Jesus. In Ephesians 2, we read, "For he," that's Jesus himself, "is our peace, who has made us both," that's Jew and Gentile, "one, and reconciled us both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." You see, this peace that he says gives to the disciples, it starts with Jesus. Peace starts with Jesus. I want to look at five piece together relationships through the risen Lord. The five of them are out there. It's between us and somebody else. It's between us and God the Father, us and Jesus, us and others, us and ourselves, us and the physical world. Now, you may look at some of those and go, "Yeah, some of those are painfully obvious, Nate." And some of the others, maybe you're wondering if I'm making them up. But we'll prove these out this morning. First, between us and God. And this, start with this one because it's the most important. It's the heart of the Easter story. Right? We have to go all the way back to the beginning of time when God said, "Let there be light." When he created the world, he created the animals, he created the trees, he created the waters, and he created us. And everything was good. Everything was perfect. Everything was in perfect harmony. And their original sin, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, it marred our relationship with God. It distorted our relationship with God. And suddenly things weren't in perfect harmony anymore. You know, there's a word in the Old Testament for peace. It's shalom. You've heard of it, I'm sure. But it means more than just peace. It means more than just tranquility. It means everything's in perfect harmony the way God designed it. And that's the way he created the world. And then we sinned. Humans sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. And they smashed that shalom. They smashed that peace. And that's what sin is. Sin is smashed shalom. The peace that God had is no longer there. The peace that God had created is no longer there. And so suddenly, we're not in harmony with God anymore. You see, God hates sin. Habakkuk 1 verse 13, it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. He hates sin. And guess what? We're sinners. We're sinners through the sin that Adam and Eve created that they've passed on to us just by the very fact that we were born. But here's another little secret. Every one of you here, myself included, has committed a sin. And we're guilty. And we deserve death. And we deserve hell. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. He sent the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Prince of Shalom, the Prince who's going to restore peace to this world. And see, we're in disharmony with God. He needs to punish us. He needs to punish the sin. But instead, Jesus shows up, the Prince of Peace, and he dies on the cross. And God says, you know what? Instead of punishing us, he punishes Jesus for our sin. So that every sin we've ever committed, every sin we're going to commit today, every sin we're going to commit in the future, has been punished on the shoulders of Jesus, on the Prince of Peace, on the Prince of Shalom. And through that sacrifice, Jesus justifies us with God. He makes us right with God. Galatians 3 verse 16 says, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ. That word justified just means we can be made right with God. That God sees us the way he sees Jesus. That God can see us without our sin, that he can take our sin away through the blood of Jesus. And that's the good news of Easter this morning. You know, I titled this message, Peace from the Cross. But I really struggled with whether it was peace from the cross or peace from the empty tomb. And so I think maybe it's best to be peace from the cross through an empty tomb, because the risen Jesus justifies us with God. So he gives us peace with God the Father. There's peace between us and Jesus. Did you notice how Jesus shows up with the disciples, what he says? He says, peace be with you. He wasn't vindictive. He wasn't sarcastic. You know, I got to imagine if my best friends, when I was arrested in a garden, all deserted me and ran away, I'd probably be a little bitter. I mean, Peter, really? I warned you. I told you this was going to happen. Yet you still ran away. James and John, you call yourselves the sons of thunder? More like runs from thunder. Right? But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't berate his disciples and say, where'd you go? Why'd you leave me? He doesn't. Jesus is helping his disciples. He's not judging his disciples. Romans 8 verse 34 says, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I italicize that word. He's interceding for us. He's sitting at God's hand, pleading our case. Now, yes, he will come to judge the living and the dead, but right now he's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. He's not sitting up there, hey, did you see that sin? God, don't forget that sin, Nate, just committed. He's pleading on our behalf to God the Father. Just like he was there to help the disciples, not judge them. He's up in heaven helping us, interceding on our behalf, pleading with God, praying for us. And so Jesus, the risen Jesus, through his death and resurrection, restored the relationship between us and himself. Third, between us and others, or us and other Christians. We're told in Ephesians 4 to live in unity, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body. See, it's the risen Jesus that allows us to exist as a church. It's the risen Jesus that allows us to come here and maybe sing songs that we don't like as much, and still love each other and still worship. It's a risen Jesus that allows us to serve. It's the risen Jesus that allows us to do good in God's eyes. And it's only through him that we can exist as a church. I don't know if you caught it, but it said, there is one body. We are one in the risen Christ. Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He's the common bond. You know how you can have a big circle of friends where everybody knows the central character? That's how it is with Jesus. He's the central character. He's the center of our church. He's the center of every Bible-believing church in this world, which is why we can say we believe in one holy Catholic or universal church. Fourth, he pieces together a relationship between us and ourselves. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, well, this sounds kind of like some New Age stuff. Trust me, it's not. Just stay with me for a few minutes. The risen Christ cleanses our conscience. He cleanses our conscience. He can remove our fear. I said earlier, there's some places that only Jesus can go. He knows your deepest fears. He can take those away. The things that keep you up at night, the things that cause you to worry. He can remove those fears. He can take those away from you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to transform your heart, to change your heart, to work in your heart, so that you can love and serve God. You see, here's the thing. We live in a very self-centered society. We are probably self-centered. And we think that forgiveness is about us. That God sent his son so that I could be forgiven for my sins. Because that's what it's about. It's about me. But it's not. Forgiveness is God-centered. That God forgives your sins so that he can cleanse your conscience so that you can serve him. Because with a clear conscience is the only way you can serve God. If you look at Hebrews 9 ties all this together. 9 verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, here's what he does. He cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Why does God forgive your sins? Why does Jesus cleanse your conscience? So that you can serve the living God. Forgiveness is God-centered. It's not about you. It's not about me. Even though we're the ones whose sins are forgiven. Finally, this last relationship that Jesus pieces together is between us and the physical world. You see, not only did sin distort our relationship with God, it also distorted our relationship with the world. If you remember the curse in Genesis 3, God told Adam, you know what? You're going to have to work the land. It's not going to be easy. And so the relationship between us and the physical world was also distorted. And Jesus starts to bring that back into harmony. Now the full realization of that will not take place until he returns. But then there'll be a new heaven and there'll be a new earth. And that relationship between us and the world will be back the way it should be. Those are the relationships that Jesus pieces together through his death and through his resurrection. And I said that peace starts with Jesus. So if you want to know how to get this peace, Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from Jesus. This peace comes from God. You need to spend time in your Bible. You need to spend time in prayer. I was having lunch with Brandon Wilson, I think it was earlier this week. And we were talking about that, how he's working to get kids, how he's working to get kids to understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to have the peace that comes from Jesus, how he's working with kids to understand how to read your Bible, how to memorize Scripture, how to pray. Pastor Jim said it a whole bunch of times. The longest distance in the world is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. How do you take what you know and turn it into relationship with Jesus and turn it into relationship with God? It's through reading your Bible. It's through prayer. That's how you get peace. So I told you there were three P's, right? Peace, purpose, and power. That was peace. Let's move on to purpose, because Jesus gives us purpose in verse 21. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We don't always like these types of verses, do we? Because it feels like God's telling us that we have to go out and tell others about Jesus, that we have to tell others about God, and we don't always like doing that. I like what St. Francis of Assisi said that says, preach the word, and if you have to, use words. You guys ever have that point in your life where you're conflicted with something and you kind of want to do something, but you kind of don't because you don't know how it's going to turn out? I'm going to tell you, right now I'm having one of those moments. Not the best spot to be having one of those moments. So in your mind's eye, you don't have to actually do this. Nobody has to physically raise their hand. But I want you to think. I want you to ask yourself, do you live a life that reflects the love of God? Do you relive a life that others would know as Christian? And again, you don't have to raise your hand. And I'm hoping that most of us sitting here in our minds were thinking, yeah, I'd put my hand up. Which I hope. And I hope is true, and I hope you feel good about that. But I want to ask you a follow-up question. In living that life, have people come up to you and said, hey, why do you live your life that way? And given you the opportunity to share the gospel? How often does that happen in your life? Because I think sometimes we take the easy way out. We say, you know what, I'll just live a good life and people will know I'm a Christian and they'll start to believe in God because I live a good life. I truly believe it takes more than that. That God is going to open doors for you. That God is going to, there's going to be people in your life that he's going to open a door, and it's your decision to walk through that and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God. Had a guy I work with, went through a kind of a tough time. His dog that he'd had for 15 years, he loved that dog. He had to put his dog down. He broke up with his girlfriend. And I'm sitting in his office, and there were tears in his eyes, and he says, I sometimes wonder if anybody's ever going to love me. And you want to know what I did? I chickened out. Right there, God had opened the door for me to share the gospel with somebody else, and I chickened out. And so I just encourage you this morning as we're celebrating the fact that Christ died for your sins, that when you get those opportunities in your life, that you walk through those doors and that you share the gospel of Jesus, that you share his love for people. You don't have to tell them that life is going to be rosy after that, because it's not. John 16, it says, in this world we're going to have troubles, but the thing is we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the message we have to share. That's the message we have to be ready to share, not to chicken out when you're presented with the opportunity. And so Jesus gives us purpose. And then Jesus gives us power. In verse 22, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us strength to do that which we cannot do on our own. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Gives us strength to love God, to believe in Jesus. Gives us strength to share the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is ours. Jesus gives it to us. So that leaves verse 23 hanging out there. Sometimes it'd be nice to skip the hard verses. But verse 23 says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It had me perplexed for a little while. So I read three or four different people what they thought that meant. A couple of them kind of shook my head, and I don't think so. Read the study notes in my NIV study Bible. Let me tell you, here's where I got. It goes along with sharing the gospel. If you share the gospel with people, if you present to them Jesus Christ as the forgiveness of their sins, and they accept Christ, and they believe that message, then your sins are forgiven. If you share the gospel of Christ and they don't accept or don't believe it, then their sins are not forgiven. And so that verse, even though spoken specifically to disciples, is still relevant for us today. It's still relevant for us today. And God is calling us. He's telling us to go out and share the gospel, to share the Easter story, to share the Easter story with our friends, with our neighbors, with our family, and not to be ashamed, for it's the power of God. Let's pray. Holy Father, again, just thank you for this morning. I thank you for a chance to open your word and study from it and learn from it, Lord. And again, I pray that you work the truth into our lives and that whatever brings you honor and glory, Lord, we hold as true. Lord, I thank you for this church this morning, for the people who are here worshiping you, for the people visiting, for the members who've been members a long time and are committed to your work in this body, Lord. I just say thank you this morning. Lord, and we know it's not all roses. It's not all an easy life and that we have suffering. So, Lord, we lift up those who are going through some tough times. Lord, we pray for Nancy Kaminga and just ask that you bring her work, that you bring her meaningful work that challenges her, that engages her, that lets her use the gifts you've given her. For those going through difficult medical situations, God, we just lift them up and ask that you encourage them. For LaVon Hammonds, for Eileen Meyer, for Gary Ruttman, God, we just lift them up and say, give them what they need. Heal them, Lord. Surround them with people who can encourage them. Use us, God. We celebrate with joy that she's receiving good reports and that she's healed, God. We pray for continued mobility in Shay's arm, that his physical therapy will return full range of motion and strength to his arm. And we just thank you for the doctors and the surgeons who are able to help him. And we thank you for the physical therapists, God, who are working with him. Please encourage Shay. Give him strength. Give him endurance. And we pray the same thing for Drew Geiser. Lord, we just lift up that little guy and his parents and his family and ask that you continue to bless him, that you continue to allow him to improve his walking, Lord. And we thank you so much for him. Lord, as we go through the rest of this service, may we remember that it's not about us, but about you and what you have done for us. It's not about who we are, but about who you are, God. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's through Jesus' name alone that we pray. Amen. This time we have an opportunity for announcements, if there are any. There are not any. Then we will receive our offering. Our offering this morning is for CRC Home Missions. If you are visiting with us this morning, please do not feel obligated to give anything. It's our opportunity. It's a blessing for us to give back to the Lord. So please feel no obligation this morning, and please join us as we sing.
Sin was could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails from me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing, my Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Hear now our blessing. Go now as God's chosen witnesses to testify that Christ has been raised and that we are raised with him. Do not look for him among the dead, but be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And may God raise you up from all that would entomb you. May Christ Jesus call you by name and go ahead of you. And may the Holy Spirit empower you for all that is good.
From the dark domain, and he lives forever. and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose,
he arose,
he arose,
alleluia, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose,
he arose.
With a mighty triumph o'er his foes,
he arose.
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever.